Rappin' with Reef Bum is sponsored by Champion Lighting and Supply, Polo Reef, and Fauna Marine.
Hey, what's happening, everybody? And welcome back to another episode of Rappin' with Reef Bum. I'm your host, Keith Berkelhammer. So on tonight's live stream, I welcome back Paul Allen, who is the president of the Boston Reefer Society and also the moderator of this live stream. So I don't know, man, who's watching the store here? Who's minding the store tonight? I guess we're both gonna have to kind of like
I'll do that as well.
How you doing, man?
Yeah, I'm living the dream, man. You know, as good as you can get. Doing what I can do. Stumbling over words.
I hear. All right. So before we start chatting, I want to take care of some business and thank the sponsors of this live stream. Polo Reef, make sure to check out Polo Reef's new YouTube video that drops this Friday. The Polo Reef team dives deeper into the reef tank lighting. Many interesting topics are discussed and look at some interesting reef lighting products and techniques that are getting some attention. Make sure to subscribe to their YouTube channel at Polo Reef for video drop notifications. Champion Lighting and Supply, besides being a place for hobbyists to purchase saltwater aquarium supplies online, Champion Lighting is also a wholesale distributor for many popular brands. If you own an aquarium store or an aquarium service company, contact Champion Lighting through their website at championlighting.com to set up a wholesale account. And finally, Fauna Marine. I do use the Fauna Marine Reef ICP Total Test Kit, which gives a quick, accurate, and easy overview of over 90 water values in reef aquariums, from macro elements, trace elements, and pollutants. You get a complete overview with corresponding dosage and action recommendations. I am a certified Fauna Marine ICP test advisor, so if you want to select me, go for it, and can help you interpret those results. I also sell the ICP test kits and other Fauna Marine products on reefbum.com. So, Paul, man, before we start talking about Boston Reefer Society and what's going on there and the ins and outs of running a club and what have you, what's going on? You've got a tank, man, right? You've got a reef tank.
I do.
You passed along a whole bunch of pictures and what have you to me, and I kind of scrambled to grab a few of them. But just give us a down low, man, in terms of the on the setup, and it's a new setup too, right?
Yeah, it's less than it's roughly right about a year old, probably 10 months. So I had, the last time I was on, I had 100-gallon CAD lights, pretty much wall-to-wall SPS, 80-gallon frag tank tied in, common sump. That thing was wall-to-wall, you know, SPS, LPS, torches, you know, all the name pieces, that, the other thing. And then, so this is like the current state, the picture that you can see on the screen now. It's a little less messy because that was still like all under setup and construction. So I had the bright idea, right? Last October, like I was like, all right, I wanted to do an 84x36x24 tall tank, but I also didn't want to spend $8,000 to $10,000 on a glass box. So I was like, all right, intermediate marine, I can get a peninsula tank. Whatever. I think I paid $4,000 for it, right? Like all said and done, custom sump through like Synergy Reef Systems. Not knocking used products or like, you know, Chinese stuff or products or whatever. Like any system I've ever had over the course of the years has always been like secondhand stuff. And again, I'm not knocking that stuff where, you know, people take care of things, things work great, et cetera, et cetera. This time around, I was like, you know what? I have the money. I'm going to spend the money on the things that I want. So like I already had GHL controller, I had, you know, some GHL stuff like that prior to from the last system. So I only upgraded some stuff. I definitely swapped out. I went from an 8-bulb ATI T5 fixture. I mean, basically on and off, you know, grows like metal halides, grows anything, you know, blanket coverage of light. I've always been intrigued in lights, the look of the GHL fixtures. I've had Ecotec, I've had this and that, you know what I mean? I just never had the opportunity to be like, all right, I got $4,000 to spend on some lights or something like that. And, I know you had done already, you know, your peninsula setup with the 6 light, and like I copied your light rack design.
Yeah, that looks familiar, right? It's a great little design, though, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Because I was trying to figure out, I was like, all right, how
Hang
am
them.
I gonna, set this off, hang it, et cetera. I was trying to, come up with like maybe 80-20 coming off a wall or doing like some type of like threaded, not cast iron, but some type of, aluminum pipe or something like that, like one end suspended, but the other end like mounted, into a stud or something like that. So where the tank sits currently, there used to be a wall there. So I took a wall down. I mean, you can kind of see from that picture right there. Like this X kitchen cabinet still on the wall, minus the faces. But I mean, there was like a full small kitchen, family room, et cetera, et cetera. I had two tanks in like an L
Yeah.
configuration. And so I took a wall down, had my buddy Chris A, he's from Boston Reef, his longtime, friend and hobbyist, whatever, came, did the floors for me throughout the, basically a remodel. But the thing that really sucked is like I started this in like October and November of last year, and we all know how finicky SPS is. I feel like this is like the same broken, whatever, the last time I was on the stream, talking about like changes or like significant changes. So I had a 300-gallon Rubbermaid tub in a garage in, south of Boston, Mass, cold as hell, middle of like December, January. My father, I live with my father, he's 79 years old. Not blaming him, but he tends to leave the doors open at certain points. So there's been like a few occasions where I've gone out in the garage in the morning and it's literally like ambient air temps, 4
No.
degrees. And like, I had the 300-gallon tub, Rubbermaid trough, like elevated on cinder blocks, wrapped with R19. I had a 1-inch thick, like PVC, not PVC, like insulated, whatever foam. And I just manually
Yep.
adjust like temp from, like covering it at night, taking it off during the day, et cetera, et cetera. Everything was good. And then when it started getting real cold, like I had 2,000 watts of heaters in there. And like it started to get like those nights that where the door was magically left open. I'm not going to blame him 100% because it might have been myself. You know what I mean? But it's always easy
Dad's a
to pass the
suspect.
buck. Yeah. He's the suspect. My kids are suspect. I mean, I'm a suspect. Who knows? Maybe it was the ghost tripping the beam and leave, the door went back up or whatever. But yeah, I mean, like I went from literal, like a 4 foot by 2 foot tank wall to wall sticks, and probably 2 foot by 3 foot wall to wall sticks, and then all high-end torches, et cetera, right? 5 years, Blastos, all the stuff that costs money, right? And then I had such like temperature fluctuations that like things were swinging probably like 12 to almost 20 degrees a day.
That's a big
In
swing.
the, yeah, that's a huge swing. And the crazy thing is like our VP of PR, Joe Scarborough, like he and I, we got invited out to Lyra's event last year,
Long Island, Long
sister
Island Reef
club, whatever.
Association.
And yeah, so we went out to the, went out to dinner and stuff. And I was like telling them, and all those guys, they were like, dude, if you can wait till the spring. And I'm like, I have to do it now. It's the only opportunity I have to have like the remodeling done, have the floors done, et cetera, because mind you, again, prior to going live, like, yeah, I do have a back issue, whatever. So I like to think I can do a lot of things myself, and then like I'll attempt to do it like construction wise, and then I'll be laid up for three,
Yeah.
4 days. So, I have some good friends in the hobby or whatever, and they were like, hey, like, obviously we're not gonna charge you the stupid money or whatever, basically cost, So like, I mean, I got like a $10,000 floor job, the whole downstairs of the house for like the cost of materials. I might have thrown $1,000 or
Nice.
something like that, and
Nice.
so we did that. And but with the fluctuations in temperature, it was definitely detrimental to a lot of mainly the SPS. So
So your
the
collection took a pretty big hit.
yeah, to say the least, to say the least. So I mean, it went from like kind of like I was talking with you earlier before we started the show, like dealing with the backing of like disappointing, having the wind taken out of the sails. So I went to like, all right, cool. I'm finally gonna have a nice tank and like a nice setup, like everything, high end, da da da, et cetera, to like, I didn't, like got it all set up and just watched like pieces or mini colonies or colonies literally just melt over the course of like the
Yeah.
next 6 months, to the point where I've become like sick to my stomach. And I'm like, Jesus, even though the amount of money, like the amount of money I spent on all this you know, whatever. It obviously doesn't, you know, like save anything, but like it just took the wind out of my sails. And I was like, I can't even recoup. Like, even if I just said, whatever, if somebody came down in with a truck and gave me 10 grand cash, like I'd help them load it in and take like a significant hit just from like the sickening feeling, you know what I mean? But it is what it is. I'm kind of getting back into it now.
Well, you know what? The bright spot, man, is that you've got a great setup. You know, you've got the foundation laid. All right. So the collection took a hit. But, you know, you went high end with the tank. You know, I love the stand. Is that a custom stand or was that a...
That's actually the stock stand that comes from Innovative Marine.
Oh, really?
It's similar to like 80-20 style. It's just extruded aluminum, you know, put it together. Kind of like an IKEA thing, you know, you turn the locking nut and it locks in place. And super lightweight. It's a nice tank for the money. You know what I mean? Like, I can't say, I talked to a few different people, like, you know, social media people, other people that were in the club that had that type of setup. And again, you know, it's not like my ideal dream size tank that I was hoping for, but
still, man, that's a,
it was 4 grand.
That's,
versus 10,
I mean, that, and that's something that's going to last you for a long, long time, you know? And I just love the Peninsula tanks. You know, at first I was like, oh geez, man, flow on that Peninsula tank kind of sucks. But you eventually kind of figure it out and the way I set it up with all the MP40s and MP60s is probably not going to win any, you know, contests in terms of hiding, pumps and equipments and power cords and all that stuff. But it works, man. So I think you did well, Paul. I think the Mitras, are kick ass. I have never had lighting that has generated such great growth in colors as the Mitras, and I'm an old school metal halide guy, so you know I think that's a statement in itself. So I think you made a wise investment, you know, with the with all that stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. I try to pitch, you know, and again, I mean, I'm just this kind of a running joke, you know, like on the forum, whatever. I don't know if it's active or not, because I like to say I'm just another bozo on the bus. Like, I'm nobody special, you know, like, and like, so Joe Scavo was talking to him earlier, and he's like, dude, I got like a funny joke, like a drinking game for like the members on the forum. Like, every time I say bozo on the bus, I'm going to take a shot type of thing. Right? So, like I said, I mean, like, I'm not, you know, like, like GHL definitely is a sponsor of the club, you know what I mean? Like, but that, I don't get any monetary gain from saying like, hey, this is what I use and this is what I like. I've used every light manufacturer under the sun other than like the newer stuff that's coming out now. I've just always been intrigued by GH's build quality and like commitment to customers, you know what I mean? You know, I've never been a fan of like, you know, Apex or, you know, Neptune or whatever in various stuff. Like, I keep it simple to the point of like, even getting in back in the hobby 20 years ago, like I ran tons of powerheads. Like, I have tons of powerheads in this tank right now, 20 years later, you know? And,
you use what you like. And, you know, I mean, I have a material connection to GHL. I sell their stuff and I've had, you know, a lot of stuff I've collaborated with them on in terms of stuff, doing videos and all that sort of thing. But you know, me personally, in terms of equipment and stuff, I'm not going to use anything that I don't really truly believe in is going to be good for my tank and my corals and my animals. So sure. I get it. You know, there's a lot of things in this hobby in terms of connections and sponsorships and stuff, and I'm guilty as charged, but I like to believe that I'm not going to be touting stuff and using stuff that I truly don't believe will make my corals thrive.
Yeah, no, I completely get it. I mean, that's a great way to, you know, be and to like run a business. Like, anybody can say like, chase this number, chase that number, use this product because they read it or heard about it or something, and like their tank looks like my tank, like an actual abomination, you know, versus, something like yours, you know?
So
I'm just on that.
I was going to say, Corey Page just put a beer emoji out there, and Joe Scavo said bottoms up. So I think you're going to have to say it again, dude.
Yeah. Me and Joe Scarvel, we're both a couple of bullets
There you
on the
go.
bus.
Bottoms up, folks.
Just like a brief behind that. He grew up in the town next door to me, and like, you know, there's always been like a Quincy North Weymouth, you know, Quincy Weymouth rivalry, or you know, a lot of smack talk back and forth. And like, obviously with the club and over the years and more involvement, like I consider him a close friend today, and we still like to bust each other's balls, so to speak. You know, so we'll definitely, you know. If I drank, I'd be slugging one back right now. But I do have a jug of water.
There you go. So in terms of rebuilding the collection, are you focused on name pieces, or are you now kind of potentially focusing that attention on stuff that just you know, what you're thinking?
Yeah, I'm definitely not like as like balls to the wall, like I have to have the latest and greatest, you know what I mean? Like I had Rainbow Splice and Fruity Pebbles, like, you know, the name pieces, whatever. I mean, like, I've gotten corals from you, you know, like graciously or whatever. You've given me some corals, and like, thankfully, like those corals are now living in someone else's tank currently until like I can wrap my head up, you know, basically get my tank to the point where everything is. Because I didn't really use any live rock from the last system. You know what I mean? Like, I ran Reef Moonshine's products. I didn't do a water change for, like, almost 3 years, et cetera. Like, everything was growing, like, phenomenally. And then, you know, I had the mishap, whatever called, you know, osmosis. Whatever happened. And then, you know, I bought a bunch of, like, Australian live rock. I cured it. I'm not saying it's that, but I do have a bunch of dry rock that I just needed for, like, on the wear end of the tank. Like, I needed some elevation for that particular escape, and I'm fighting like stupid high phosphate levels. So I'm like, oh, you know, I bought a couple of reactors, one for, you know, granulate, GFO, one for carbon, you know, they work great and da, da, da. And then I'm like, now I just have them shut off, and I'm like dripping lanthanum chloride into the schema. But I'm at the point where now where, like, I almost have the drive and the bug back in me. You know what I mean? Like, just went out to Lyra last month, got invited out to their show again. We went out there, hung out with those guys, like, you know, saw some systems, talked with some people, et cetera. Kind of got the bug back. But, like, to answer your question, I know I'm going off topic. Like, no, I'm not into, like, I don't care if it's a green bird's nest, you know, at this point. Like, I just want to take things simple and see how the system does, you know what I mean? Like, let the rock mature, you know what I mean? Because, like, I went from a completely... Because my last system, some stuff was dry rock, but the majority of it was, like, 15-year-old, you know, seeded system that's been laying around forever, Haitian live rock, you know, like, whatever, Fiji rock, da-da-da, real dense stuff, you know what I mean? And then, like, I mean, this particular rock that I have, like, I bought, you know, from Pristine Marine Aquariums in Long Island. It's pricey. It's good looking stuff.
Is this
like,
the Australian?
That, like, yeah, the Australian. Like, really not. Like, French Rich Colombo in the chat. He's got the same rock in his tank, and it's doing amazing.
What are they charging per pound for that stuff?
I don't know offhand. Maybe $25. I really don't know
that's
offhand.
Expensive.
Like, I could pull it off just for the hell of it. Like, I don't want to say like I got it at a cost, but I definitely, because of like my relationship with Jason, the owner, and like buying X amount, you know, obviously got some type of a deal. And, I mean, I still spent, you know, $1,500, $2,000 on rock, you know, and then stuck it, and it had all that amazing coralline and like beneficial bacteria. And I stuck it in a dark tub and just let it cure for 6 months. So I basically bought it for the shape at this point, you know what I mean? But I mean, like, I like the look of it. There's, yeah, I guess it's
Sturgis Reef is saying 23 is what I got it for.
Yeah, so because on his website right now, like, you can buy whatever 10 pounds for $250 bucks. You know, he's at all the shows, whatever, you know, it's like anything else. The more you buy, you buy in bulk, you get better deals and stuff like that. Yeah, so, I mean, I like the look of the rock. Like, I have an image of, like, a floating aquascape, you know, with that type of branch rock.
This is not in the tank right now, right? You're still curing it? You're still curing it?
No, it's been in the tank. I cured it before the tank even got wet, and it's been in the tank since. It's been in the tank for probably, 8 months at this point. It's just that I had a couple of big boulders that I needed some more elevation of just dry rock that was never cured. You know, it was like fresh out of the ground type of behind my shed, for years. And I was like, quick rinse with like the hose sprayer in the kitchen, never soaked in any fresh water. Never tested it, no salt water, no heat, nothing like that. And I just dropped it in the tank and literally been battling like high nutrients ever since. But I don't know. I mean, like I said, I'm starting now get the bug back, and like I'm looking forward. Like, and again, I'm not sponsored by anybody whatsoever. Like, I do run Reef Moonshiners program. I just started implementing that methodology within the last like 3 weeks. And like stuff that was like gray and like 99.99% dead has got like color and polyps.
Nice.
So I don't know if it's my parameters are getting back, in line, or it's the addition of like the, additional trace elements.
Are you doing like a lot of ICP testing with Oshimo and all that stuff and doing that program?
I have in the past on the last system. This system, like when I was piecing it together, like I bought, I don't know, 6 or 8 ATI ICP tests just because they were a little less expensive than the Oshimo. I think we're like 60, 65 bucks. And I was like, yeah, I can't spend $1,000 on test kits. Like, that's crazy. You know what I mean? So like the way I ran Moonshiners on the last system, like the first 4 months, like I did it religiously, like every four to five weeks is, whatever. And then I could stretch it out. Once I figured out like what my system was consuming in terms of, uptake of whatever, whatever, like calcium, alkalinity, stuff, the basic three. And then like maybe boron, fluoride always seems to be low, And once I could get like a baseline of like 3 to 4 months, I stretch it out to like every 6 to 8 weeks I was sending a test. And then when the introduction of like the Oshimo test came into play, I was like, oh, let me try that. But I still always go back to the ATI just because they're a little bit cheaper. You know what I mean? I haven't tried the Phonamarin one yet, but I definitely hear good things from them.
Well, I'm a little biased on that, I'll admit that.
So not to put anyone's name out there, we both know this individual in the industry, but last October, like literally right before I took the last system down, I sent some corals out to this individual and he's like, I can't believe the coloration. Like, what are you doing? And sent him like the information on Reef Moonshiners, but he uses the same system but all Phonamarin products, and he's like, dude, I can't believe it's literally night and day. Like in the 20 years that I've been keeping like coral, it's night and day difference. And then he's from the East Coast, he came back home and he didn't have stuff set up on a doser, so for like 3 weeks stuff didn't get dosed. And he's like, he went home and he's like, I can't believe, again, night and day, like the drastic decolorization of corals just in that 3 week span of not dosing your, whatever, rubidium, iodine, et cetera, but yeah, I mean, like, I'll pitch, either methodology, like I said, I'm not sponsored by them whatsoever. I've been running that methodology for 3 years now and like
happy with it.
Yeah, I'm happy with it, so there's that anyways.
Obviously, you've got kind of like a blueprint, man, in terms of, how you can kind of get back to that promised land in terms of what, you were enjoying, success-wise before. So, yeah, it sucks, man. I mean, this hobby, there's always something in terms of that can kind of like set you back, drag you down a little bit, and you got to be very resilient. You got to be in it for the long haul. Because it can right. It can definitely be frustrating. There's just so many different things that can happen. So yeah.
I'm kind of taking a little bit of backseat again, to like touch on that. Am I chasing? Like, yeah, sure. I'd love to get some high end pieces in there eventually. But like I have a good friend, I got him a tank, didn't take care of it, killed it. Got him another tank, a bigger tank, smaller tank. He had that for like 2 years. Packed it with corals, he's in a wheelchair, so like whatever, I was like trying to help him out, like mental health wise or whatever.
Oh, good for you.
And then he called me probably a couple of months ago and he was like, listen, I can't do it anymore, do you want it back, or like I'm just gonna sell it. I said, yeah, I'll come pick it up. And got a bunch of softies and stuff like that too. Like, I mean, half dead softies. It's pretty bad when you can kill like softies. And you know, I put stuff like on the the furthest point away from the weir where that light is lower light for like LPS. And like, it looks good. Like, there's a couple of gorgonians, there's a couple of finger leathers, like there's a toad suit. There's like actual stuff in life and like movement.
That's always like what draws people to a reef tank that are not real reef keepers. Yeah. I like that stuff.
Yeah, I remember back in 05, like, you know, was just getting wet with like SPS and like Bird's Nest and like whatever, you know, genius and you know, names, you know, it wasn't even really names, you know, might have been a Green Slime or a Miami Hurricane or, you know, XYZ, you know, bottle brush something or other. But like, I remember like friends coming over and like out of everything in terms of animal wise, they'd see like the 12-cent hermit crab and be like, oh, dude, that's amazing. Like, I'm like, what do you mean?
Yeah.
Look at this thing that doesn't move. It just cost me $400. You know what I mean? And they're like, oh, I'm getting a tank, you know, spending thousands of dollars to get hermit crabs, you know?
Yeah,
it's crazy.
It's the same thing. I mean, I've got like, you know, I got SPS dominant systems, and I got like one branching hammer in one of my display tanks, and people like just get drawn to like, wow, look at that thing, it's moving and stuff. Like, don't you see these beautiful sticks, man? All the different colors and stuff. It's like, well, you know, it's not moving, but
I know.
So
I know. It takes a certain kind of person,
a sick person, sticks. I guess. Are you, so? When are you going to be ready for pieces? I got a lot of stuff to give you, man, you know, so, you know, we're going to see each other in a few weeks.
I'll take the ride up. Hey, I was joking around with, Ben, he goes by Nevelos, and, I made a comment, you know, cause I have a 2004 Subaru Forester, like XT 5-speed, like souped up, you know, the stupid car, whatever, like reliving my youth. And, I made some comments about like, oh, one of these days, like I'm going to drive it up to Keith's house and, you know, like made a comment about the, you know, the particular Subaru, whatever comment that was probably shouldn't be mentioned. And he was like, started laughing. He's like, dude, I'm in a Subaru Forester right now. And I'm like, that's pretty, all but newer. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, like, I think things are good right now. Like I'm dosing everything. You know, like trace wise to a T. Like I just tested, you know, the big three. Like I don't really test alkalinity. Like I have a big calcium reactor, pretty much set it and forget it. I do have the KH director for like just data, and like I don't even have it turned on. It's connected.
So you're not testing with it?
I do like when I think about it, but like I said, I bought it. Like I had it years ago, and then when I got the calcium reactor, I was like, I'll just run the calcium reactor, and like once I get that dialed in, like, I mean, it's kind of, I don't know, I don't have the water volume and or amount of uptake in like the big three as say yourself or other, you know, aquarists or whatever, you know, people in the industry or whatever. But the last system, like, it was spot on. Like it never really fluctuated. Every once in a while I would have to like lower my set point. So I do let the controller dictate how much CO2 gets injected into the calcium reactor, right? Like I don't do the bubble count in the old school like methodology. I trust GHL's product not to tell me that the pH is screwy. And it's like I can, you know, manually test it or test it, you know, via the KH director, like, you know, whether it's Hannah or Salford or even like the ICP testing. And they're all pretty much identical.
Good.
Within like a couple of thousands, you know what I mean, of a percent or a point. And I mean, I don't know. I mean, I like gear, you know, like much like yourself or anyone else in today's day and age. And you know, I think I might have went a little overboard on gear, and you know, but whatever. It makes me happy. It's cool to have.
You know, I've found that. You know, over time, that simple usually comes means that things are going to be better with a reef tank. So the fewer bells and whistles, I've experimented over the years recently and tried different things, and you know, the more equipment you add, the more complex it becomes, the more variables that are in play, and so I've kind of tried to like scale back that stuff, and and go a little bit back to the roots in terms of the way it used to be and not have a lot of things running the tank. So I don't know. It's there's many different ways to reef, and that's cool. I'm not making judgments on anybody if they like to employ the toys and all that sort of thing. But you know, when things get a little rough, then I think always being trying to be simple and scaling things back potentially be helpful.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more on that statement. You know, it's nice to have the cool gear, but like it's not necessary really. You know what I mean? Like I never ran prior to my last system, like I didn't have any bells and whistles and you know, like I had whatever, you know, the basic on off, you know, the lights came on a $10 charger. Yeah, I mean not a charger, like a timer and you know, PC lights.
Oh, I got burned by a freaking timer a few months ago, man. Like an old school maybe it was a digital timer or something like that. It stayed on and lost some purple monster.
That's not fun. Yeah, I mean, I try to, like, since I set this system up, you know, 8 months ago or whatever it was, like, I just started implementing the ICP testing again. You know, I just started, like, I was doing water changes, 100-gallon water change here, 100-gallon water change there, et cetera, and, like, trying to go back to the basics. Like, I mean, I do have catamorpha in my sump, but I feel like, I don't know. I mean, it's good for nutrient export, but I feel like it's not amazing, you know, like any other background.
I really, really tried very hard to use Kato, and it just, man, for a few years, and it just didn't work out. Whether it was an algae reactor or putting it in the refugium or bucket fusium, I just couldn't freaking keep it alive over time, you know? Crashed.
Yeah. No, I'm kind of on the same way. And like, I dose iron daily just for, you know, it's recommended, you know, I'm sure Phenamarin or, you know, any of those other type of methodologies, Triton or whatever, like when you have macroalgae, it's a dose iron, you know, cause it's sucking a lot of the stuff that we're adding back in daily. You know what I mean? So, I mean, I just kind of use it for, I don't even know why I use it, to be honest.
I mean, I was using it
for phosphate control.
I was,
control,
you know,
you know
for nutrient
I mean?
Control, right. I mean, that's something that was what I was using it for. Yeah. So, all right. So I think we've kind of alluded to the, we've talked about Boston Reefer Society. Just quickly, man, or not quickly, can you give everyone like a rundown what the club is all about? You're the president of the Boston Reefer Society. How long has it been around? What are you guys all about? I'm a member. So, you know, dig the club. Got to be part of a reefing club.
Yeah, so, as you said, my name's, I'm Paul. I'm the president of the Boston Reefer Society. We've been around since the club incorporated back in 2002. What can I say?
What's there to say?
I don't know. I mean, the club's... the club's been it's been around since 2002. I just got branded or lost my train of thoughts. Like my duties as president, you know, realistically is all right. So getting back to that, like we're in our 22nd year. We're a 501c3 nonprofit educational organization. Obviously, we have a mission statement. It's always been about education. So, like, just to rattle off, I have some notes. I'm not going to sit here and pretend like I'm a smart guy because I'm supposed to want the boss.
Up, drink.
Our first purpose is, like, promoting interest and enjoyment in all aspects of the marine aquarium hobby. And then to educate the public on topics related to the biology, physiology, and chemistry. And conservation efforts and stuff like that. But, yeah, I just... totally lost a train of thought.
No worries, man. Yeah, so I mean, it's a great thing. I mean, I think reef keeping clubs are just so important because, you know, I don't know what happened. You know, in terms of COVID, I guess some clubs maybe dissolved. Other clubs just kind of went more electronic in terms of the meetings and stuff like that. you guys haven't gone back to in-person meetings, right? It's still Zoom, which is what sort of happened with the pandemic.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, we haven't since the pandemic happened, we haven't gone back to in-person meetings. Mainly because of cost. You know what I mean? There's just the everything's exponentially more. And you know, like say for instance, like we could rent a hall, like whether it's the Knights of Columbus or nothing fancy, you know, a typical whatever 4-hour thing, you know, was like $300, $400. After COVID, it's now like $1,600.
It jumped up like that.
No, it's stupid money. We used to use this like Knights of Columbus in Taunton, Mass. That was like $275 for like 6 hours. Like after COVID, it's like $800.
Wow.
Like it's
that is crazy.
And I know it's not like we can't really base it off of. So like back in the day, like, you know, you'd have an in-person meeting, like would have a speaker come in, you know, say like yourself, you know, like would pay for your transportation, your flight, you know, food, lodging, et cetera, et cetera. And you know, then the cost of the thing would be like $1,000 a weekend. Now that same thing is, you know, $2,000, $3,000. The club just doesn't have that kind of money. Like, again, you know, like it's a nonprofit. Like yeah. Everything is based off of membership and sponsorship, yeah. You know, like, or money that like us ourselves are pouring into it. You know what I mean? Because at one point, like, you know, the club was on a downward slide. Like it was a premier club. And then for a lot of years, it was like on a downward slide. And then 2018, like, you know, again, I had this back injury and was able to donate some time, like, you know, bit of a network engineer, IT guy, call it whatever you want to call it. And, you know, I was like, oh, I can help out. So basically since 2018, myself and Corey Page, like he's the vice president of the club. He's always in the chat here.
Yeah, hey, Corey.
So, I mean, we've been doing...
I see a lot of bear emojis by Corey's name.
Yeah, yeah. He works a full-time job, you know, like 65, 70 hours a week. You know, he's got a couple of daughters, got a wife, da-da-da. Plus, like, the amount of work, like, behind the scenes. Like, I know on the last time, you know, you had me on a couple of years ago, like, I was like, well, you know what it's like. There's, you know, behind the scenes. You know, it's just... stuff that people don't see, you know what I mean? It's almost like a full-time job without pay.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I've been kind of slacking off this year, which is good. We got a decent, good group of guys. Chris Sturgis, he's, you know, Sturgis Reef, he's always in here. He's kind of taking over the website. He's like Doogie Howser of IT, which is great. That's not what he does for a living.
Is he another Bozo on the bus?
He's another Bozo on the bus. He definitely is. He's definitely another Bozo on the bus, but... I mean, he's good. You know, we got a good, decent crew right now. And, like, we're trying to get the club back to, like, where it once was as, like, the premier. Or, like I sent this to you in text. Like, Boston's known as the hub, right? Like, we're trying to make Boston Reef is become, like, the hub of the Northeast for any other, like, states or clubs. It's not just Boston Reef. It's, like, we have members in Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont. Obviously, you're a member. You're in Vermont. We have people in New York. You know, Florida, California, you know, like it's all over the country. Like it doesn't really matter. But yeah, so just basically trying to get back like super into like the education piece and go forward with that.
In terms of the meetings and stuff and the in person, what about at local fish stores? Is there any has there been any discussion with local fish stores where they don't charge you guys to meet, you know, where you can kind of go in after hours when they're closed down and
I've talked with a couple. I'm not going to sit here and be like, I've talked to every one of them because I haven't. They seem to be so few and far and spread out these days compared to, you know, 20 years ago, like any other small business. And there's one local to me, it's about an hour away called All Things Aquatics. You know, they've been a sponsor. They've been a fish store. They actually just, now they're appointment only. They're focusing more on like, you know, service and maintenance and design and that type of stuff, which is cool. Good for them. You know what I mean? Like, but they've been vocal about like, hey, like, why don't we have a club meeting here? And like, whether it's during hours or set, we'll close early for that day, and you know, we'll have a meeting here, you know, like a show off. We can offer X amount. Like, I'd love to do that. It just, I don't know. I don't want to sound like a Debbie Dunham, but it seems like a lot of people or a lot of stores don't really want to get involved in that sense, which sucks. You know what I mean? Because, like, it started off as this, you know, it's a niche community anyways, and it grew exponentially, but now it's so much smaller and more saturated. To me, and this is only my opinion, it's like, how much money can I make, which is, sure, if that's your bread and butter, that's your bread and butter, you know what I mean? But there's a lot of, like, I don't know, there's a lot of good people. I know I said this the last time I was on. There's a lot of good people. There's a lot of, you know, heroes in every aspect of the world, unfortunately, you know? Yeah, I mean, I'd love to do stuff. Like, we've had, like, member meeting, like, Cookout, BRS Cookout, like, at All Things Aquatics. Like, we have a store on the North Shore that I was in talks to, and then, you know, it just fell through. You know, it just didn't happen. Like, again, like, I'm just a bozo on the bus like everyone else. You know what I mean? It's funny. It's funny because, like, I'm not saying I do this, I do that, I do that. Like, there's nine of us, right? There's president, vice president, VP of PR, secretary, treasurer, and four of the board of directors. Like we have a good group. I'm not crapping on anybody. Like,
it's tough, man.
You know,
but like you said, these are all volunteer jobs.
We're all volunteers. Everyone's busy. You know what I mean? Like, I can't be the only one, or Corey can't be the only one, or Dave, or whatever. It's always like somebody's picking up, you wear someone else's slacking off type of deal, you know? And then, like, you know, with the loss of, like, what I lost and the upgrade and the this and that, you know, like, having the sales, you know, the wind taken out of my sales.
Yeah, it's tough.
And, it's definitely tough. It's not an easy thing. Like, I'd love everybody to like me. You know, like, I think I'm one of the most easiest people to get along with. I like to laugh. I like to smoke and joke, even though, you know, I don't smoke, but whatever. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, obviously, transitioning away from your question every time you ask. Scavo earlier was like, dude, just be yourself. Don't be anxious. Like, you'll be fine. Like, everybody likes you. You're a good guy. Like, you're funny. Da-da-da. And I'm like, dude, I'm sweating. Like, I'm going to throw up. Da-da-da. I don't know why I get like that, because I can literally talk a cat off a toodle boat. You know what I mean? Like, can't have a shot up. You know what I mean? But, like, ADD to the max, where you're like, I think the same question last time, like, what's it like running a local reef club? And I was like, oh, let me tell you about this internet tough guy. You know what I mean? Like, so it is.
Well, I mean, listen, man, I want to thank you for what you've done. It is a thankless job, you know, and I think a lot of things are behind the scenes, so people kind of don't see what's going on. And you guys are putting on a big frag swap coming up in November. Yeah. And man, that's got to be a shit ton of work.
Sir. Yeah, it's I'm glad you brought it up, because that's we started in 2022, just you were there as a vendor. We started in 2022, and again, to like align with our mission statement, it's always been about education and what we can do to help promote the hobby. And I was on your show, and at the particular time, I won't mention that person's name, but somebody to do with Polo Reef, like, was like, hey, got in contact with me, and like, we want to be involved, and da da da. And we had a gentleman that, you know, no longer with us, pass away, you know, longtime club member, kind of pioneer of the marine ornamental trade. Like, we're in like the 60s and 70s, he was like supplying, you know, fish and invertebrate and stuff like that to, you know, Long Island Aquarium, you know, Boston, New England Aquarium, you know, aquariums around the country, like importing stuff, et cetera, et cetera. And like, you know, like, he passed away, and we started a marine science and conservation scholarship in his name. And with the help of Andrew Sandler, it was graciously enough to, you know, we started two $5,000 scholarships. He, you know, donated $5,000. Mm. And with the help of the gentleman that passed away's kids, and, you know, his grown kids, and then, you know, money driven through whatever, raffles, donations, et cetera, et cetera, the club came up with the rest of the money. And then we awarded two $5,000 scholarships. So we got to run it again. Last year we didn't do Fragsgiving because it was like time sensitive or whatever, and we actually partnered with the Marine Magnet Science High School down in Groton, Connecticut. Guy Eric Litvinoff and Mike, like they're, you know, the educators, and they teach about, you know, aquaculture and this and that, and it was cool. And like we did a project with them, and you know, this year we're doing obviously Fragsgiving again. So it'll be November 9th, Topsfield Fair, 207 Boston Street. It's opens at 10:30 a.m. to the public. There's like 30 plus dry goods and you know, like coral fish vendors. And then we got a pretty damn good lineup of educators. So we have Chris Mackley's coming in.
Is Mackley still coming in? I haven't talked to him.
I talked to him right after the hurricane. I know we just dealt with the hurricane. I haven't talked to him since, but he was definitely on board. You know, we booked him to come in, give like a presentation on the soup to nuts of where he started in his garage to where ACI Aquaculture is like the largest or one of the largest, you know, aquaculture facilities in the country. Richard Ross is coming in. He's going to give a presentation. Kind of, I don't want to give away like his particular thing. It's like all the different methodologies. You know, there's 10 ways to skin a cat, you know, et cetera, et cetera. So he's going to give some type of presentation. We got Mark Levinson coming in. He's going to give a presentation. We also have Andrew Sandler is going to give a small presentation on like fish disease, and he's bringing Dr. Alex Hall, the fish vet, with him.
Oh, cool.
So they're going to kind of tag team something as well. And this time around,
dude, that's like an A-list lineup you got going there.
Yeah, yeah. It'll be a real good show. Like, it should be a really good show. You know, we're not trying to be the new Magna. We're not trying to be, you know, like the new Reef Stock or whatever, anything like that. But, like, we're definitely trying to put the education to the forefront. And, I mean, that's pretty much what we're doing. You know, we got some really good sponsors. We got some, you know, like Todd from Champion Lighting, you know, he just became like a flagship sponsor of the event and, you know, a sponsor of the club and stuff like that. And like that helps out. Andrew, so we could only get in touch with one of the recipients of like the scholarship from, it was created in 2022, but it awarded last year. So we were able to get in touch with, there's a woman that's studying, you know, PhD in like marine science conservation, something, just goes to like University of Hawaii. So Andrew is paying for her flight and her hotel to fly her to come to Topsfield for like a presentation of like, this is what myself and Boston Reef is about. Like, it's about helping, you know, to educate and stuff like that. So that'll be cool, you know. Get a decent raffle, you know, like it'll be a good time.
Can I put some corals in the raffle?
Yeah, absolutely. 100%. You can do anything you want.
Keith. Well, not anything.
You can even come. Yeah, no. You got my permission. You can take over for all I
care. That could be tough.
I shouldn't say it like that. But yeah, I mean, we got like a star-studded lineup. You know, I know it's tough, like a lot of, with the internet age and a lot of like, you know, TikTok, influencers, whatever, like, it's easy to find information, but why not listen? Like, I'm old school, right? Like, I got into the hobby in 2004. My first event was Magna 16, hosted by Boston Reefers in Boston. Like, I went there with a 2.5-year-old and a two-week-old. And I was, like starstruck. I remember seeing, like, Mark Levinson, David Saxby, and I was like, holy shit, I read about him in Mike Paletta's, like, Marine Aquarium, you know, book like that I paid $50 for or whatever, you know, and like, you know, just like, I mean, they're no different than anyone else. No. They're just another bozo on the bus, right? So it is what it is. I'm not trying to get anyone drunk here, but I will because I'm having fun, right? But it's cool. There's a lot of people that want to stick to the roots and stick to the education, you know what I mean? And again, like, our mission statement's always been about the education. Like, it's not about us making money, you know, because it would be great. It'd be cool to do the show and be like, holy shit, we netted 15 grand. But more than likely, it ain't going to even hit $1,000, you know. You know, we get a food truck again. What else? We have merch. You know, those four speakers. You know, the presentation. You know, from Andrew about the woman that's in the PhD program. Raffle.
Is it going to be the same setup as the last time? Basically, the speakers will be kind of like speaking on the floor, so to speak, or is it going to be a separate room?
ADD. I'm glad you brought that up, because when you originally started like this question a minute ago, because I obviously, you know, my engine's running off a different track right now. So we booked a separate adjacent building because last year or 2022, like, yeah, we had the floor, the main floor, the vendor area, and then they had a stage, and it was kind of like, it detracted away from sales from vendors. Some people were upset, et cetera, et cetera. It was tough to hear, you know. So we have a separate adjacent building where, you know, audio, like, just ordered some new fancy DJI, like, lapel mics with the, you know, whatever recorder it's called, and we got a full audio system, projector, PA, all that.
That's cool.
Stuff,
I mean, I'm a little bummed out because I'm going to miss those talks. I'm going to have to be tending to my little frag tank.
Yeah, we're going to, I mean, I honestly don't know if I'm going to see them in person either. You know, like, again, we're all volunteers. You know, there's technically nine of us that are, whether officers or board members, like, trying to get people to volunteer just, hey, can you help out, like, couple hours here, like check tickets, check, you know, somebody put wristbands on, et cetera, et cetera. Like, somebody keep the flow of, like, all right, here's the next presentation. This is the way to the presentation.
What's what's the schedule in terms of the speakers? So you said the show opens at 10:30. One of the speakers start and end.
Yeah, it's, give me 1 second. I don't.
Yeah, you don't have to.
I wish I had.
That's just a little...
It hasn't been 100% like public announced yet. But I want to say they're 45-minute presentations. I'm just trying to look through text messages of, all right, so I got one. This is tentative, right? So 11 a.m., 12:30, 2 p.m. Maybe this is a first draft because it looks like there's one or two missing. It looks like, you know, like, you know, whatever. This is when it was 11 to 5. Now we've gone in, you know, with the opening up a half an hour earlier. We just were able to secure. There's a lot of, like, outside, out-of-state vendors and stuff like that. So we were just able to secure, you know, with, unfortunately, a little bit of an additional cost to, like, a vendor's fee, like, night before setup. Because, I mean, I didn't really have to set anything up other than bring raffle stuff last year. And I was up for, like, 42 hours at that point. You know, like, exhausted, you know, like, just over it. You know what I mean? Like, it was like me, again, my 78, 79-year-old father, two daughter's boyfriend, two pickup trucks filled to the rim of, you know, merch and raffle donations. And we had to be there at 7 a.m., so I left my house at, like, 5 a.m., you know what I mean? On no sleep, drive for an hour and a half, 2 hours, set up for 3-4 hours, you know, plus it gives the time for, like, you know, coral and fish or whatever to acclimate. They're not like going from a cold car.
Yeah, I'm probably not gonna. I'm not going there the night before. I mean, I'm like probably a little over 3 hours away, and I think I'm gonna just kind of like leave about 4 o'clock in the morning here in Vermont and get there like around when are the doors open for vendors?
7 a.m. 7 a.m.
Yeah, so I think I'll be there at 7 a.m. And
I'm pretty sure 7 a.m. I'll definitely get the, you know, like I said. I mean, Joe and Corey have been like spearheading this. Thank God they've been giving me like a little bit of a longer leash to like take care of some of my own whatever, you know, issues or whatever going on. And they've you know, been you know, whatever, not detrimental, but like exponential into like the planning and like taking care of things and this and
I'm bringing like mini colonies because I stopped selling frags online back in the springtime, so I've got some very, very big little mini colonies that I'm going to be bringing. I actually had to frag the mini colonies back the other day just to just transporting them. You know, that's the whole thing. But I'm looking forward to it, man. It should be a lot of fun. See you. Last time I think I saw you was at Dong's place.
At Dong's, right.
Is Dong going to be there?
Yep. I'd imagine Dong will be
He's
there.
not going to be
More than
speaking,
likely,
though,
Dong will be there. Yeah, no, I guess he's, I don't know if anyone reached out to him or not, because we did the Zoom thing with Rich Ross and Dong, like, kind of they wanted to meet or whatever. Yeah, I don't know. It's
Have you guys given any thought to, allowing members to do a little swapping before the or during the event? Is that part of the event? Because I remember when I used to go to the Manhattan Reefs frag swaps, and unfortunately they haven't had any of those for a few years, because I know they're having venue issues in terms of being able to find a place that's affordable as a venue.
Yeah.
But I thought that was always one of the coolest things when I used to go to frag swaps there. Was that a lot of it was like in this little side area where you would kind of make these trades. You would beforehand kind of reach out to members and like, all right, I'll trade you this for that, and no money would exchange hands. So that's the pure sense of a swap.
Right. No, I 100% get it. Like, I personally don't have a problem with it. I'm sure vendors do, because vendors are paying hard-earned money for to sell their wares. Again, like I said, I mean, I'm sure things will be going on. Preferably, if there is things going on, it's going on in the parking lot. That way there,
Some side deals in the parking lot.
hey, keep selling, this particular coral for $175, while this guy in the parking lot selling for $25, It's kind of a shitty way to do business.
Well, there's certain things, though, because, if you're doing swapping with other hobbies and stuff like that, listen, it's different than buying it from a vendor. I think, vendor pricing is, you're paying some premium pricing for vendors because, they're going to be, essentially selling it as like pest-free type of stuff and aquacultured and all that stuff. I think it's... I think it's definitely worth paying a premium to have stuff that you can rely on in terms of being pest free. I mean, I always say to anybody, no matter who you get stuff from, you need to dip stuff. If it's advertised as pest free, you gotta be dipping that stuff. But so there are certain advantages from buying frags, corals, what have you, from a known vendor versus another hobbyist. But I guess it's like what you were talking about in terms of not having the cashish. To get into the whole premium coral thing. That's a way for somebody to help kind of pay for the hobby without having to put out a lot of money for stuff.
Yeah, I'm just getting updates by my behind the scenes crew on my phone here. So to answer your question, yes and yes on the swap. We usually post a thread, and for any information regarding any of that stuff, go to our forum, for an update. www.bostonreefers.org. There will be any type of information regarding the show, regarding the club, can all be found on the website. Seems like I got 75 people texting me right now. Because like I said, and Scavo said and others, I definitely derail, It's like, hey, Paul, what color is the sky? I'm like, let me tell you what happened in 1983.
What's the deal, man, in terms of making this an annual event? Is that a challenge?
Yeah, I don't think it's a challenge. I think, like I said, we didn't do it last year because we wanted to do the collaboration with the Marine Magnet High School and really push the education thing. And we had some tax issues, I'll put it out there. I mean, it's public information. We had some tax issues with a past treasurer that didn't file taxes. So that was a big thing, because in terms of any type of raffle, I mean, any type of donation or whatever, where there's a contributed goods receipt, now we're liable as income, et cetera, et cetera. And, so we just pressed the education piece. We didn't really have to come out of pocket for that. We used their location. We printed merch and some shirts and stuff like that. And we had Dr. Michael Gertis from Capital Corals. He's up in Buffalo, New York. He came down. He had a booth set up. He gave a presentation of when the Caribbean or the Florida waters were hitting record highs and mass bleaching events and stuff a couple of years ago. So he was down there on the forefront and experimenting or whatever and seeing that firsthand. So he gave a presentation that we had on Zoom or Skype. We had Colin Ford of Coral Morphologic. He wanted to come up. It just didn't fit in the time schedule. And then Taras Pluskin, local Connecticut, what's the word? Not relative.
Resident.
Resident. Yeah, local resident. And since I don't know if he still works Top Shelf Aquatics or not, but, you know, we flew him up, came, gave a presentation on, like, what he's working on, like, different algaes and stuff like that. And, it was cool, you know. It was something, another avenue to get involved with, like, a strictly based educational organization. And that was more based on education than it was a frag shop. I feel like we had maybe 12 to 15 actual vendors. And a lot of them were the marine science schools, you know, like John Swanson has E.O. Smith Coral Project, you know, once a year, every March, FFM. And, all the different schools down there. It is what it is, you know. It's all about, I wish there was more schools in Massachusetts that were based like some of the marine science schools that there are in other states, because I'd love to start like going in and like implementing programs and, you know, stuff like that. And like, I know when my oldest daughter, she's 22, again, here's a tangent, right? My oldest daughter, she's 22, like she was a senior. She had this 23, 24-year-old like marine biology teacher, like first year, like this town off in marine biology. And she's like, oh, my dad goes to this thing called Frag Farmers Market, this marine biologist or like instructor or whatever teacher, like talks about the type of stuff. And, I was able to make the introduction, but then COVID happened and nothing happened. You know what I mean? I'd love to, like I said, I'd love to, you know, put together some type of talking point. Clearly I'm all over the place. Maybe somebody else can, you know, I'm definitely not the brains of the operation. I'm just the good looks.
Another bozo on the bus.
And exactly. Another bozo on the bus. Right. So, I'm definitely not the smart one, you know, like I said, like I'm all over the place ADD wise. I don't know. I mean, I'd like to do a lot of things. It's just comes down to availability, time. It's tough with the schools because it's a lot of bureaucratic stuff that you have to go through. You obviously have to get vetted, et cetera.
Todd from Champion Lighting, I'm sorry to cut you off, man, said he's bringing soft pretzels.
Hell yeah. I was on a diet last year, so I was like 3 weeks in a keto, right? And here come Todd with the pretzels, and I was like, dude, I can't eat it. I'm on keto, like I'm doing good, da da da. And I ate like 46 of those pretzels. So yeah, he'll be up. He made a comment with us, and he's like, I'll bring the soft pretzels again. Thankfully, I'm not on a diet right now.
I was wondering who's going to bring the beer. sounds like there's going to be plenty of beer.
Yeah, possibly so. I know not.
Yeah, yeah.
But I'll bring the waters. Waters,
so you mentioned a couple of times, man, other clubs like Lyra, the Long Island Reefers Association, and you mentioned the Frag Farmers Market. What kind of collaboration goes on between clubs, if any?
So as of right now, like I know back in the day, Boston Reefers and Lyra used to do not so much like a collaboration of, say, like, this is an actual event, but they'd invite us out as, like, a sister club, you know, as, like, two premier clubs in the Northeast. So with Joe, I'm not going to, Aiello, I don't want to butcher his name, from the Long Island Aquarium. Like, they'd organize, like, a behind-the-scenes tour, and they'd do, like, tropical fish collecting in the Long Island Sound. And, you know, Boston Reefers members would pay, you know, whatever it was, $20, they would save them a spot on a, you know, like a, some type of rental van or something, go out to Long Island, meet up with the Lyra guys, girls, whatever, do the tropical fish collecting, you know, go to the hobbies, trade corals, et cetera, et cetera. So I know like that happened like years past. Like I never really got into that because, you know, I had two little kids, you know, it was tough. Like I'd get up on a Saturday morning and go hit 15 stores with like a newborn and a
two and a half year old,
you know, like, see you for dinner or whatever. But I reached out to Lyra last year when they had, you know, they were talking about their event, and I was like, hey, listen, like the clubs used to intermingle back in the day, and like, maybe we can start working towards something, you know, whether it's a big event, you know, meet in the middle or something like that. And, you know, they invited us out last year. Their PR guy, you know, like reached out, like as soon as it was announced, he was like, hey, do you guys want a spot? You know, and yeah, absolutely. You know what I mean? Like, no questions asked. So like myself and our PR guy, Joe Scavo, you know, we took the ferry over there, drove down there, whatever, you know, we had dinner, like, you know, shot the shit, hung out, set up, like they got a new like meeting venue. It's they're like, they used to do it in a school, and it was kind of like a smaller venue, not crap on that because it, you know, whatever, it is what it is. But they just got like, they're like, somebody's a union electrician, and they got this new union hall, nice. And it's amazing, and this bank space, and they were able to secure that to like for pennies on the dollar and next to nothing, and you know, bigger location, you know, great high-end, you know, audio, video, etc. So I mean, like, I'd like to see more collaborations with us, you know, us and them. Some of those guys and girls are coming out next, you know, whatever, 2 weeks, I think. And, you know, they'll be out here. Like, we offered them a booth. I don't know if they're going to set up or not. We offered the schools booths. Some of the schools, you know, I get, you know, like Southern Connecticut to Northeastern Mass. You know, I mean, who wants to drive? I mean, your ride's like 3 hours each way easily. Right? A lot of people don't want to make that drive, you know, like I'd like to see it happen more often, you know, like, and again, like we looked at potentially even going like the Worcester Centrum, but that was like 10 grand just to get in the door. Never mind power drops, never mind table drops. It's like parking was an issue because it was across the street. You couldn't get validated parking. That was like an extra $1,500, et cetera. You know, it was just, but like to get something more centrally located, like would be ideal because then you get all of, you know, Long Island, Manhattan, you know, that the five boroughs, you got Connecticut, Rhode Island, you know, all in New England. And, I mean, that'd be cool, but we got to go where we can afford, unfortunately,
Deep Blue
at the moment.
C says, does anybody remember the BRS events, the big convention center in Boston? We got to get back to that. Is that a realistic thing? Is that a realistic goal, or is it just going to be too expensive?
I don't know what that would even... I remember the events, but I mean, I wasn't involved in like the politics side. You know what I mean? Like I was trying to raise my daughters, or you know, just being a dad or whatever. But I never get into it. I don't know what it cost back then. I can only imagine what it costs now, because a lot of times, like with the unions in the city type of stuff, like you got to have stagehands on presence. You know, I mean, these guys are making $75, $100 an hour to stand around and like carry a table, like even to bring your water in. Like I know at MACDA 16, and I don't want to speak out of terms, I don't want to say I definitely know, but from what I've told, like there was a, you know, like vendors bringing stuff in, yeah, they had to have the stage hands like carry it from the parking lot or the loading zone, you know. And it's just all an incurred cost. And you know, not knocking unions or anything like that, but sometimes it's a little you know, it is what it is sometimes, you know. And I've been a union guy my entire life, so
it's tough, man. It's not, you know. I know at one point in time, you guys were really hoping to bring back the Magna to Boston, but that's you know, in terms of whether or not that Magna is going to continue to live on, I don't know, man. It's like they canceled the show again, so.
Yeah, that's a bummer. I mean, it sucks when anything like that, because I mean, like I said, that was like my first real introduction, real event. You know, like I met a guy at Petco, tried to buy some animals. I had no idea how to keep. He's like, how long's your system been set up? I'm like, 3 days, dude. I just washed the tank out with Irish dish soap, you know, and like knew nothing about nothing, you know. And he's like, hey, go on, do you have AOL? And he was like, you know, whatever. I found Boston Reefers, found out about the Magna, and you know, I went out there. But I know local clubs used to host them. I don't know when it stopped. The last guy that was in charge, I don't know about this current, you know, like group of people, talked to something or other like a year or two ago. Like I reached out via email, and I was like, during COVID. So they had like the mini Magna.
Online.
It was like Zoom based. Yeah, and I was like, hey, can we purchase X amount of, you know, to like run a contest for our members? can we purchase 25 tickets or whatever it was, and like, hey, whoever gets closest or has the best picture of this fish or this coral, you know, like if you want it, you can win an entry to this, you know, online magnet. And I inquired about like, how do we go about bringing magnet back in person in Boston? I'd love to see that, but it was all based off of Masna owned magnet, so right? So it was all strictly like in-house at that point, you know? There was no longer any.
So, man, I posted the a link to the thread on BostonReefers.org for this frag swap. So you don't have to be a member of Boston Reefer Society to go, right?
Definitely not.
Just you're gonna pay a little bit more as a non-member.
Yeah, I think it's as of right now, because Vinny Altamirano from GHL, he donated a GHL Prophylox P4 60E Megaset. I think it's like $950 or something like that as a raffle, like an early bird raffle prize. So I believe right now, and it doesn't matter if you're a paid Boston Reefers member, non-paid Boston Reefers member, just any random bozo on the bus, you know, like whatever, you know, Joe Blow down the street. If you go to our website and you purchase like pre-admission, it's a $20 buy-in, and that gives you a chance to win this, you know, $1,000 controller. But that ends at 11:59 p.m. on the 31st. So then after that, I believe it's $25 per person, and that's, you know, admission to the show, you know, whatever. It's just because of incurred costs of everything is through the roof.
But folks, I would recommend. I mean, what does a annual membership cost at Boston Reefer Society?
It's currently $30. That gets you full access to every forum on the website. It gives you private messages and ability. It gives you access to equipment. We have Apogee MQ510 palm meters, you know, for basically for rent. You know what I mean? But it's $40. I mean, you know. So if you wanted to borrow it, it's $40. You meet the guy that had it last, you give him the $40. You keep it for a couple of weeks. The next guy that wants it from you, he's giving you $40.
If you're out there and you're not part of a Reefers Club and you want to join a Reefers Club, join BRS, man. It's just it's totally worth the $30 a year. I mean, that's not a lot of money, and there's a lot of freaking benefits. And you know, so you guys do. Is it monthly Zoom meetings with some pretty kick-ass guest speakers?
Yeah, we try to do the monthly Zoom meetings. It's not always feasible just because, again, you know, we're all volunteers, unfortunately. I mean, I'd love to sit here and tell you, like, I got XYZ lined up, but I don't. You know
it's
what
not
I mean?
Easy.
Like, we had Mackley on last month. You know,
yeah, that, Rich that was Ross cool, on.
You know, we had Rich Ross on with Dong. I don't know. We have a YouTube channel, you know, where information's there, like on the website or the forum, the Boston Reefers. There's always a what's new or what's happening. There's always some type of link, you know, for like a tour or contest. I mean, I'd even like, we used to do a lot of things of like, you know, packing a bunch of different cars and go to different people's houses. A lot of people, you know, weirded out by strangers in their house. I personally don't care who comes there. My father's a little taps, you know, so he's up. If you don't like it, he'll let you know. Type, you know, old school guy. But
that's the cool thing, though, man. I had like, you know, a whole busload of people came out to my, when I used to live in Connecticut. There was a whole busload of people that came out from Long Island. I can't remember the name of the reefing club, but they took a road trip, like on a party bus.
Yeah. That's like what we used to do when we used to go down and like fish collect, you know, on the Long Island Sound. I'd like to see more of that. Like, we've done it, like, during COVID where, like, you know, hey, we're going to have a Zoom meeting on da-da-da-da. You know, basically show off your system, your setup. The next person wants to talk. Some people are into it. Some people aren't. It seems a lot more people want the in-person meetings. And again, like, it's not my personal money, but it sucks when you're spending $2,000 of, like, you know, donated money, other people's money, and five people show up. You know, there's no real, like, commitment compared to, like, back in the day where you'd rent a hall and there'd be 150 asses and chairs.
Yeah.
You know? And now it's, like, so-and-so's little kid running through the parking lot and, like, It ain't my kid. Why do I feel like I gotta watch your kid while you're sitting at the bar? You know what I mean? Type of deal. So it is what it is. Obviously all over the place, you
dude,
know,
did
like
what else did we miss anything? Anything else you wanted to pass along there in terms of the show? It's November 9th, and that's the show. Anything else about Boston Reefer Society that we didn't touch on?
yeah, sign up. Elections are in December. Volunteer. I need a break. I'm just kidding. No, like I'm grateful. I'm grateful with this club. It's done, you know, a myriad of good for me in my life. You know, like I was saying, you know, I have a back injury, et cetera, really plays with the mindset. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I've always been the type of, you know, the sense of community and like the family and like that aspect of like being a member of the club. And you say it every week, you know what I mean? Of like join your local fish club, you know, like it's like 8 cents a day. Like I went to Starbucks yesterday and got two small coffees and it was like $14. You know what I mean?
That's
But
a
I can
pretty.
get information, you know, meet a mentor, whatever, et cetera. Like I said, I've been doing this 20 years. I don't know my ass from my elbow. Just another bozo on the bus again, you
Well,
know?
you're being a little hard on yourself, man. I think you know a little, you know,
Yeah,
you've
maybe.
had some success there, so I think you're set up pretty well.
Yeah, it'll get there again. It's just time,
Yeah,
you know?
yeah.
Time and
All right,
patience.
dude. Well, I'm looking forward to going there and seeing everybody and seeing you and what have you. Should be. It was a great time the last time, so it should be a lot of fun. I'll keep my fingers crossed it's not going to be snowing here, so I don't have like a little white knuckle drive. It already snowed here. We had like about almost a
Oh,
foot of snow at the
Jesus.
top of the mountains about a week ago. So I've already been skiing, which is crazy. And you know, today.
How many days? Because I know you got like almost, would you have 200
I had
something
200
consecutive
consecutive. I had
this
200
last year?
consecutive days last season. That's just not going to be feasible this year. But yeah. But I've started earlier this year. You know,
How deeper is your addiction than mine on SBS and another expensive hobby?
Yeah, I got a real problem. I got many problems.
Same. I'm looking at the 45-day weather forecast for you, so
Oh, okay.
looks like it's gonna be, oh wait, that's October. No, November 9th, 50 degrees.
That's good.
But if you
That's
leave
good
at
because I don't want it to be
4 a.m.
freezing cold where I gotta have to transport corals on a cold car. That's the I have to wrap them up
Yeah,
with the blankets.
that's no fun
All right,
either,
dude. Well,
but
listen, Paul, man, thank you again for joining me as a guest, and I really appreciate you in terms of
yeah,
all.
absolutely. I
I
appreciate
really
having me
appreciate
on.
you doing the moderating all the shows and being a fly on the wall there. And it's a journey here, man, but it's a lot of fun. And
It's
yeah.
worth it. It's worth it. Just the friendship and the camaraderie is, you know, better than anything else, you know. Like I'd rather, you know, like I know you and I had talked and like even like kind of joked around, like when I think Rich Ross and Dong were on, and I was like, hey Keith, you're gonna be the moderator tonight? And he's like, yeah, and, you know, and like professionally you're thanking me, but seriously, like I thank you because it gives me a sense of belonging. We got a good friendship, you know, like I feel part of, you know, it's good for the
Yeah.
mental, you know, and it gives me something to do on a
There
Tuesday night, you know.
you go.
So thank you again. Like I appreciate you and everyone else
You know,
that's out there, you
next
know.
week. So this is the 198th episode of this show, and next week is going to be the first recorded version of Rapping with Reef Bum. Yeah, because I'm
Really?
going to be away, and my guest. I recorded the episode this morning with Doug Dorrit from Frag Farm UK, and he you know, in the UK, so he's not as crazy as like Claude would be and stay up at 2 o'clock in the morning and do his show. So he was like, I can't do that. I was like, all right, we're gonna record it and we'll see how it goes in terms of recording an episode of this Rap with Reef Bum. So next week
That'll be
I
cool.
have to figure it out, but maybe I'll release the episode at 7 o'clock on next Tuesday night just to kind of keep the timing the same.
So does that mean I have
Yeah.
the night off?
I could run it
Holy
as a
cow.
live, man, and you know, we could just kind of sit there and watch and
Yeah, I'm down. I'm down. I'm more than likely to be
could
watching
just
it
do it
anyways, you
live and it'll
know.
be recorded, but can keep the chat open or something. I don't know. That's probably a little stupid, but
It's never stupid. There's no stupid
Yeah.
question, right?
Anyway, all right, man. Thanks. I also want to thank the sponsors one more time. Polar Reef. Make sure to check out Polar Reef's new YouTube video that drops this Friday. The Polar Reef team dives deeper into reef tank lighting. Many interesting topics are discussed. They also take a look at some interesting reef lighting products and techniques that are getting some attention. Make sure to subscribe to the YouTube channel at Polar Reef for video drop notifications. Champion Lighting and Supply, besides being a place for hobbyists to purchase saltwater aquarium supplies online, Champion Lighting is also a wholesale distributor for many popular brands. If you own an aquarium store or an aquarium service company, contact Champion Lighting through their website at championlighting.com to set up a wholesale account. Say hello to Todd and the crew at the Fragsgiving event on November 9th, because they're going to be there. Fauna Marine. I do use the Fauna Marine Reef ICP Total Test Kit, which gives a quick, accurate, and easy overview of over 90 water values in reef aquariums, from macro elements to trace elements and pollutants. You get a complete overview with corresponding dosage and action recommendations. I am a certified Fauna Marine ICP test advisor, so if you want some help interpreting the results, you can select me when you submit an ICP test. And you could also purchase those ICP tests from Fauna Marine at reefbum.com, as well as other Fauna Marine products. Joe Scavo, thank you so much, man, for that super chat. I really appreciate it. Also want to thank Paul. Again, I thank you. Appreciate you, man, for being the moderator of this live stream. It looks like we got through this okay without an actual moderator. So that's cool.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's amazing when you got a good group of people.
Also want to let you know that all episodes of Rapping the Reef Bum are available as podcasts on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, and Amazon. As I mentioned, the next episode will be taped, and I'll release that on Tuesday, October 29th at 7 p.m. Doug's going to be the guest from Frag Farm UK. Some interesting stuff, some things that he will be revealing for the first time ever on YouTube. So definitely tune in for that. Thank you, Corey Page, man, for that super chat. Appreciate that. You can check out the full upcoming schedule of guests on reefbum.com under the YouTube section. Until next time, be safe and be well.